Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And it felt like a playoff game yesterday, partner, and your boys got the job done.
They absolutely did. That was a big game, man. That was a big game for a number of different reasons. Needed to get that win, obviously, because you're fighting for playoff positioning. But it was also against a team that you're going up against in that playoff positioning. So not only were you able to get the upper hand by getting that win, now you've got that tiebreaker in your back pocket. So if things come to, you know, the end of the season and you have the same record, you're essentially up two games on Minnesota right now. So that's really big. But this team needed to, in a big moment, be able to come away with a win. And they did just that. They did. I don't want to say they did it easy. It wasn't that, because there was hiccups all over the place.
It wasn't perfect, yeah. But I think that's a good thing. Like, yeah. They had a lot of things from, you know, you've talked a lot in recent weeks about penalties, a ton in turnover. They turned the ball over, but they won the turnover battle.
Yes.
Like, you look at, I think it's good that this wasn't all, like, cute and fluffy and, hey, we're coasting to a win. No, they had to fight and gut it out. And, yo, they got it done. That's big.
They turned the ball over, were able to recover from that. They were down and were able to recover from that. And like you said, the adversity that they showed, that is much needed. This is the way Kyle Shanahan wants to play. I think we talk about a team's identity. This team's identity. This is their time of year. Weather gets a little colder. It's a little more smash mouth now. This is their time of year. And I don't know what
it's
that
holds.
It's
running the ball. It's the time where you run the ball.
It's absolutely the time you run the ball. And you got a guy like George Kittle, who isn't what he has been in certain moments in the passing game right now, but he's a tight end that loves to block. And if the running game is going, he's going to get out there and be another offensive lineman out there with the way that he blocks. Like, it's not just let me get in the way. He's looking for pancakes. He's looking to run through dudes. And that mentality, that's what starts to take a hold this time of year. So they're playing good football right now. It depends on what I believe in, right? Like, I believe they're a playoff team. I think they'll get there. As far as what they're doing in the playoffs, I still want to see more. I want to see some more consistency. I want to see, some more health. But I love the way this team is playing right now. Love the way this team is playing.
Elijah Mitchell, 27 carries and 133 yards. All with a jacked up finger.
Yeah. Pin in.
Well, it didn't work to take it out for the other guy, so why not leave it in, get out there and do that work? And then you see Debo once again being a regular running back option. For you, man, Kyle Shanahan, and it worked out well. I mean, he had the big gain of 49 yards, but the six carries, 66 yards. I mean, this is what you were talking about. This is the time of year running the football, and it's what for a guy who's labeled as an offensive genius, he does one of the most basic old school elements of football really, really well.
He does. He does. And I mean, come on now. We got to ask the question again, man. I mean,
oh, shoot. You got this stupid look on your face. Here he goes. You're going to say, I know you're going to say something absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, he's still a bad coach. You didn't say he was a bad coach.
Yeah.
You didn't say that. I'm just asking in general. Is he still a bad coach? Because there was a lot of that going on with calls in the chat house, things of that nature. Was the 49ers playing bad? Absolutely, they were playing bad. Is that a reflection on the coach in a certain respect? How sloppy they were playing, not taking care of the ball, penalties, things of that nature. Yes, that's his responsibility. But I always thought that was a little premature. I always looked at it as a situation where they were there with play calling and all this other stuff. They just weren't taking care of what they were supposed to take care of. Now they're playing a little cleaner game. I think he's done a little bit better. There was a rocky time in there, and it seems like it's worked. We talked about it last week, but he goes again and has another good game. Brandon Ayuk, where there was something weird going on with that. Him and Kyle weren't clicking.
Another big day for him, by the way.
And now he's involved. Now he's one of their best players. So I just never understood the rush for some people. And maybe it's a sign of nepotism. A rush for some people to discount Kyle Shanahan so quickly.
You mean similar to the rush of people to proclaim him an offensive genius?
There's more evidence that he's an offensive genius than he is a bad coach.
Cap, no, that there absolutely is not.
What do you mean?
There is not more evidence that he's an offensive genius than there is that he's not a good coach.
His record says
he's a bad coach.
All right, so there's more to being an offensive genius than being the head coach, right?
He has been
the head of top 10 defenses for the last decade plus. Like that.
Top 10 offenses.
I mean, yeah, top 10 offenses for the last decade plus. Like there is ample proof that he is good on the offensive end. Now, being able to adjust, and like I said earlier, it felt like people were catching up with him and he wasn't making adjustments. But he's been a good offensive coach for a long time. I think the same thing that...
See, that's the thing right there. You just said it. You said it beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
We like to go extremes.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Shanahan is... You asked me, do I still think Kyle Shanahan is a bad coach? I didn't think Kyle Shanahan was a good coach or a bad coach. I didn't think he's what he's made out to be. There's a fine line in the middle of what Kyle Shanahan actually is. He's a fine football coach. He's not this offensive genius. He's not terrible. He's a fine football coach. That's what he is.
He's good. One thing that I will say that I questioned, and I'm not going to say I'm going to throw it away forever, because I remember last year when they were going through everything they were going through, and I was like, is he a leader of men? And he got them to... like close to 500 or in the hunt. Remember I said, I just want to see them in the hunt on December 1st. And he got them there. And I was like, he is a leader of men. This year to start the season, didn't look like he was that leader of men, but this team had lost 5 of 6, I think 4 in a row. And he
got
turned
them
around.
Yeah.
He got it back. So I think more than anything, I'm not going to change my stance on Kyle Shanahan and what's going on, because I'm giving credit to these players. They're taking care of the football. They're not committing these drive-killing penalties. They've cleaned that up. And I always thought that was more of the issue than Kyle Shanahan.
And maybe Kyle or his coaching staff were able to get through to these guys. And maybe, hey, listen to this. Listen to the podcast version of D'Lo and KC. Listen to this guy, Kenny Caraway. Because he's right. All you have to do, we're in these games. If we protect the ball, if we don't turn it over, we could win these games.
Mm.
You go back to the, what are they on, 3 straight now?
Wins?
Yeah.
But with the
exception of yesterday, they've completely stopped turning the ball over, and they've won the turnover battle in all of these games as well. They weren't as disciplined in terms of penalties yesterday, but I can't recall, and maybe you can maybe you can point one out. I don't feel like they had back-breaking penalties. I feel like they had more penalties this week, I think, than they had in the previous 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I don't know that any of them, they weren't any of those throw your hands up in the air like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me.
Josh Norman had a, yeah, one for sure. I want to say maybe two, third down.
But Josh Norman, was that first half or early third quarter?
One was second half. One for sure was second half. He might have, like I said, he might have had multiple. So
I remember one. I know one that you're talking about.
Yeah, he had that. But the crazy thing with Josh Norman, who can be a liability out there for sure on in coverage, he's got that peanut punch down pat.
Oh, he does.
The Norman knockout is what they're calling it right now. Like, he gets one, at least one, every single game.
Let's get Sam in here real quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's talk to Sam.
Let's get Sam. My bad, Casey. What's up, Sam?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Sam?
Well, first of all, I got to acknowledge, I do think the team is getting better and they're improving. But I'm not ready to absolve Kyle Shanahan. And I got to be honest with you. First of all, you know, things are earned. They're not given. And he hasn't earned it, man. He's just real middle of the road as where he is right now. He's not a next-level guy. And he hasn't shown himself to be because he's too up and down. And until he can show you... You see mistakes with his football teams that you would never see with the Mike Tomlin team or a Belichick team. And you see them week after week for long periods of time. You know, now, don't get me wrong. Everybody has their moments. Can we agree on one thing? Let's stop with the trick plays. We run the worst trick plays ever, and the double throwback.
Yeah, that's
every
get
time
that one
they
out
run
of
that
there.
Thing, you see that ball go through the air. It's like, are you sure you're right-handed? You
know? I mean, let's get that out of there.
Sam, we appreciate you, buddy. Bold week to bring up Mike Tomlin after what happened to them yesterday. I want you to I do want to piggyback off something Sam said about Kyle Shanahan. I want you to finish your thoughts on Josh Norman, and we got James Hamm coming up. All of that
flip side too.
Oh my!
Yeah, flip side is up in this thing. Let's go.
That's coming up next on D'Lo and KC on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
Hit the show up live on Twitter at D'Lo and KC. Now, back to D'Lo and KC.
This is a 49ers Monday. It's always something happening.
Yo, that was a hot, it was a hot 13th round, man. That's what it was. 13th round was popping.
The 13th round was popping off, but even on this Monday with the 13th round, it's still a 49ers Monday. And it's brought to you by City Center Financial. Refinance today below 1.99% APR at GoCityCenter.com.
All right. Good stuff.
I had a great weekend. I had a great sports weekend.
Well, the Kings ruined it on Sunday.
Yeah, they threw a little, you know, a little sour taste into it, but they couldn't ruin it.
But you had a good Friday.
Yes.
And then I know you was watching the fight Saturday,
yep,
and then your Michigan beat up Ohio State for the first time. And man, I don't know how long it's been, but it's the first time in a long time.
Well, they beat them for the first time just 2 days ago. You know, that's how long it's been since they last beat Ohio State. That's how long it's been. 2 days since they beat Ohio State. That's how long it's been. That's all we need to count.
And no doubt, Harbaugh's 1-5 now. Really, just great stuff from. But Michigan. That looked like a team that could. That looked like a team that could compete in the playoffs, like legit compete in the playoffs.
They got to get past Iowa. You got to worry about the letdown.
And it would be the most Harbaugh thing ever.
You got to worry about the letdown, the emotional letdown of having to actually finish out the job here. So you got to worry about that. There's no doubt in my mind that Michigan can play with Alabama or beat a Cincinnati with the way they play football. Georgia, that's a different beast. Yes. I don't know nothing about that. I don't know nothing about all that Georgia. That's a different beast. But they
might get Georgia-Bama twice.
God, I hope not. You know, your boy Herb Street, he put out his rankings. He snuck Notre Dame in there.
Hashtag not my boy.
He snuck Notre Dame in there. I'm telling you, they're going to try and, man, a backdoor cover.
They're right
they're
there.
Trying to get them
they right there. Like if Georgia beats Bama, I don't know how you can keep Bama in. Of course, it's Alabama. They'll find a way if
they'll
they have to.
At least.
Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma, so it's going to have them, like, they're going to be right there. Notre Dame's going to be right there.
This is crazy. And I, look, as much as I want to see Michigan and Cincinnati in there, if they try to pull this mess with Michigan Notre Dame at the 2-3 and have that game on the semifinal, because that's money-wise, that's as good as it gets. It, for TV, for money, traveling, all that other stuff,
mm-hmm.
as good
that's
as
huge.
It gets. Yep. So if they try to finagle that thing in there, that's going to be crazy. That's I don't want to see Notre Dame in there at all.
They don't do rankings tomorrow, do they? They're going to wait till Sunday? I can't remember if they do rankings
I can't remember either.
Or not.
I can't remember either.
Okay.
They might. I mean, why not? Do it tomorrow on Sunday.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they do it that way. What was I going to say? I forgot.
It's about Josh Norman peanut punching the ball out of.
He's got that down pat. He's got. I know. We've got
about Kyle Shanahan and his greatness.
Well, Kyle Shanahan. You were going to mention something that Sam said.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Sam was talking about not getting like over hyped about where the 49ers are at 6-5 and not absolving mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan about where the you know where this team was this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, Kyle Shanahan can win me over this year more than he's ever been able to win me over, more than the beloved 2019 season, because it felt like this season was slipping away very, very quickly for the San Francisco 49ers. And if they're able to regroup, which they have right now, if they're able to finish this regroup, and you know, I'm not going to say the schedule looks nice for them, but if they're able to kind of keep this up and find them their way into a playoff game, and you know, I don't care whether they win the playoff game or not, that will show me more about Kyle Shanahan as a head coach than anything he's done in the past.
Yeah, it's about being a leader of men. Now, when I talk about
responding to adversity when you're getting your ass kicked,
when I talk about offensive genius and leader of men, that's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
That's two different things. A lot of the success that I talk about and why I say, you know, maybe the offensive genius label was fair for Kyle, that's for what he did as an offensive mind. A lot of that as an offensive coordinator, being responsible for an entire franchise, that's a different job title. And I don't know if Kyle is built for that. Some of it also says that it was his first time as head coach. Maybe he made some mistakes. He's learned from mistakes. He's trying to right the ship and everything like that. But, hey, man, if they get into the playoffs, that says a lot because, like you said, this team was dead a couple weeks ago. And not only are they winning games, they believe, the fan base seems to believe that. I even heard last night Chris Collinsworth on Sunday Night Football. Didn't watch much of that game. But I ended up catching this part where they're going through the playoff thing and they were like, yo, the team that you need to look out for right now is San Francisco. They seem to be humming and getting things going. So
I caught that.
Kyle gets a lot of credit for turning that around. I think those players deserve a ton of credit as well for pulling themselves out of the bootstrap. Well,
I actually
in bootstraps.
Oh yeah, because that works. It's proven in history that it works. I actually enjoyed that game last night. It wasn't pretty. But it was Lamar Jackson and Baker. It was a fight. Like it was a fight till the end. It wasn't sexy, but it was just I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I just saw the last drive. I think or last drive.
Attempted drive.
They didn't get a first down. Drive.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah,
hey,
they couldn't.
I know we're we've got James coming up. Jason after that. A lot of basketball to take us home.
Mm-hmm.
Got to knock this. Let's
go. Flipside brought to you by Cyber Monday over on DLoandKC.com where you can get 30% off. Let's go.
Let's go.
Flipside.
Offset eye backfield with Juszczyk and Mitchell under center is Lance. It's play action. Lance setting up and stepping up, throwing deep middle on the run. It's high and picked off at the 20-yard line.
Why does it keep doing this?
Intercepted by Baker running back.
Why are they hating on me? This is the second time they've done this. I think there's a flaw in the roadcaster.
Are you?
I literally came up with this, put it up there, loaded it on there, and it won't play the right way. Wow. Hating on me.
Maybe Flipside is in fact dead. Let's get Bobby in here. I think it's hilarious that you have attempted for 2 weeks to do Flipside and have been foiled. Bobby, what's happening, buddy?
What's up, guys? Happy Monday.
Bobby.
I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving with your families.
Yeah, man.
Likewise, brother.
Same.
Thank you, man. I get to hear in and out of the show because my work's not too busy this week and last week. But, man, it's nice, though, Kenny, that those Niners are nice remedy and medicine for the Kings right now, because I remember it's back-to-back on Sundays where we were just getting back-to-back beat downs. And I don't know, man. I hear you guys. I want to get your opinion, though, on the Kings because, like, I agree with a lot of things you're saying, but – I think we all know that the best package we can put together if we really want to get a stud is probably De'Aaron and, you know, a mix of either Buddy and Bagley with picks. But it's like, it's too bad because I agree with what you're saying too, D'Lo. Like, it's his attitude. I mean, and we've been on this for a minute, KC. Like, I don't know what's happened, but, like, it's the mentality part. When, like, we all say he's probably not another one, but it's his attitude. It's like the team embodies his kind of attitude, and it's just not, I don't know, man. It's like, and I know you guys are saying, like, let's break up with him first, but it's more like, nah, man, what is there to fall in love with this guy about, to be honest? He had a good year last year. I like De'Aaron, but it's like, I'm even having a hard time selling him to my family and boys now, because it's like, he's like you say, Kenny, he ain't it.
And it's tough right now. I will say this, Bobby, and everybody else out there. Once again, De'Aaron Fox is still a damn good basketball player. He's a good player. Just because he may not be, I got my reservations, but I don't want to say anything's definitive right now. Just because he may not be that franchise guy that we thought, that doesn't mean you throw him out or we've got to break up with him and all this other stuff. Like, he can be here and continue to be a piece of what this team is trying to build. Now, I also hear what Bobby's saying, like, if you want to get a guy better than him, he may be the piece that you need to use. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to just kind of let's wait and see what we can get before it gets to that point. But De'Aaron Fox, that's the way I see it. You know what I mean?
If you could trade De'Aaron for Siakam, and that's the deal, would you do it?
I don't know.
No,
man.
We don't take the universal deal. No, we don't do that. We'll do the deal with you. You can have Pascal Siakam today.
Yeah.
But it's going to take De'Aaron Fox.
Man.
Because what I'm getting at is Pascal Siakam a franchise player?
I don't think so. He's not a number one. No.
So to anyone who would say yes to that deal, you're saying yes because you believe that De'Aaron is fundamentally the problem with where the Kings are, because I don't think anyone's saying Siakam is better than De'Aaron.
No. I mean, there's some people who would say that, but I don't necessarily agree with that. I think they're about the same tier of player.
Okay. Let's bring in James. Don't mind us, James. You know, 27-point loss, just working out some hypothetical trade scenarios here, having our daily conversation about De'Aaron Fox and all of those different types of things. We'll get to De'Aaron. James Hamm, 1320 Kings Insider, joining us, and the fantastic creator of the Kings Beat, both the podcast and the newsletter, which is where I want to start with the Sunday newsletter that went out, and you wrote about Marvin Bagley. At least I think it was Sunday. I've lost track of days. Might not have been Sunday. But you wrote about Marvin Bagley. Kenny and I were talking about this earlier. Is Marvin getting a legitimate chance with Alvin Gentry, a chance that maybe he didn't get with Luke Walton, but is he getting a legitimate chance to contribute with Alvin Gentry?
Look, I think what we're seeing here is it's pretty clear. Alvin Gentry is dealing with the fact that he's missing two of his major, major starters. There's no way to make up for a guy like Harrison Barnes with one person on this team. They don't have that one person. And even if they did, that one person is probably Mo Harkless, who is also injured.
Yeah.
And so I want to say, yes, I find it comical a little bit. I'm watching it play out and people are yelling and screaming, see, you know, Alvin Gentry is finally giving people a shot. And it's like, well, no, he has to give people a shot because he's missing Rashawn Holmes and Marvin Bagley. And Harrison Barnes and Mo Harkless. That's why we're seeing all of this change. And then they've got kicked in a couple of times. And when that happens, then you go deeper to the bench. So, you know, the fact that Lou King played because they got blown out. The fact that, you know, Jamias Ramsey played or the Damian Jones, he might be the one guy that you say, okay, he got a shot where maybe someone else wouldn't have. But outside of that, we've kind of seen almost the same exact rotations that Luke Walton would have had, except for Luke Walton had a full roster of players.
So let me ask this then. Once again, is he getting a real shot in your opinion? Like Marvin, or is this just out of necessity?
No, I think he's getting a shot, but I think both of those can be, you know, true. Mm-hmm. He's getting a real shot, but he's also getting a real shot because it's out of necessity. So when Harrison comes back, Marvin Bagley will go from playing, you know, 34 minutes one night to playing 18. Or there could be nights where he plays 15 or 12. Like, he's going to be the backup power forward. That's what he still is. The only difference is now the guy in front of him is Chimezie Metu, who, you know, hasn't shot the ball well and has struggled a little bit himself. And he's opened the door for Marvin to play more minutes. So I don't think that this is – he is getting an opportunity. And the thing that I'll point out, and I mentioned this in my Sunday Musings column, which is something that I wrote for years and years, but then it went away when I went somewhere else. And then now it's back. And it's one of those columns that I kind of freeform and write from my opinion and also just from my knowledge of what's happening. But they're usually slightly more personal. And I think, you know, the thing that struck out, my wife has to edit all of my work. And my wife is an attorney, so that's, I have a very good editor, just so you know. But she's the one who has to edit all of my work. And I had a line right in the middle. And to me, it really does feel like Marvin Bagley, he tried to skip a step. He went from trying to be, he just wants to be great, mm-hmm. but he never tried to be good. And so he never got good. And so we never got to that step where he was good. And now I think we're finally seeing the moment where Marvin is slowing down and becoming more of a basketball player and less of a prospect. And I think that's tremendous for everyone involved. I'm happy for Marvin because this doesn't always happen. Like, I've covered so many young players in Sacramento, and they all think that they're the next Michael Jordan or the next Kobe Bryant. And it doesn't come until it's way too late that they figure out that they're not. And, you know, even like I remember Omri Caspi telling me, it wasn't until he's like, I left here, I went to Cleveland, then I went to Houston, and Kevin McHale pulled me aside and said, look, if you're going to make it in this league, if you're going to be an NBA player, then this is what you have to do. You have got to do exactly what I say. You've got to stand in the corner and wait for your shot. You've got to run and get out to the wings on the fast break. You're not going to be a 20 points per game guy or a 14 points per game guy. If you get to 10, it's because you got to the free throw line once. You hit three threes and maybe you got to the line once. He's like, but, you know, this is who we need you to be. And so many players, it takes so long to figure that out. And I think at this point, it's possible that the light bulb has gone on with Marvin Bagley. And sort of the barometer that I saw was, he's barely played and he had four assists the other night. That's his career high. He tied his career high from his rookie season where he had four assists in one other game. But that shows you that Marvin is starting to look at the floor. He's starting to look for his teammates. He's not just going into the post, raising his left hand and demanding that you give him the ball while getting in the way of everything they're trying to do. He's playing basketball. And to me, that's a huge, huge thing for Bagley and his development moving forward.
He's played in really impactful minutes too. I mean, obviously the he had the huge shot against Portland, and then he was a big part of the able bodies that were able to play against Los Angeles. He was a big part of that, and I don't feel like at any stretch of that game did he let Alvin Gentry or his teammates down? I thought he was a strong contributor in both the Portland game and the Lakers game.
Well, the Lakers game specifically, when have we ever seen any coach say, okay, Marvin, I need you to go guard LeBron James or Anthony Davis? Mm-hmm. That's just never happened. And it hasn't happened because every other coach is like, well, that ain't happening. Like, why would I possibly put not only Marvin in a position to fail, but myself? Because most of the time you're going to fail in that situation. But then you look up and it's just a different Marvin Bagley. It's not the guy who's going out there hunting for stats. It's a guy who's going out there and trying to fit in and trying to win games. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a couple of rebounds that were just ferocious. And I felt bad for him because it was a Portland game, right, where he had the turnover where he had just an incredible rebound, and then he got stuck under the basket and he double dribbled. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't for a lack of effort. Everything he did was right, except for he was too amped up and he made the wrong play at the end. I'll take that every single step of the way because that is not who he's been in the past. And so I'm happy that this is happening for him. I don't know what it means for his future with the Kings, but I certainly I know that it means that his future in the league is not nearly as bleak as it was 2 weeks ago, because it was pretty bleak. Like a guy who only scores and rebounds but does nothing in between has very, very little value.
Yeah. Kenny, I don't think James was talking about Memphis. Just to... we'll teach you the Memphis Bleak reference later. Not the Memphis Grizzlies, Memphis Bleak. But it's a slow process, James. We're bringing you along slowly. We don't want to overwhelm you.
James, you talk about that game against the Blazers. I mean, that was a great moment. I thought personally when he hit that three to kind of seal the game, or we all thought seal the game in the corner. And just seeing the release from him, you know, after he hit that three, that was a really good moment. And the whole thing with Marvin Bagley, I feel, with this franchise is they could use him. Like, regardless of everything that's going on right now, there's still a hole at the four position. Like, they don't have a power forward that can do anything. Once again, I'm asking you questions that maybe you don't have to get into people's head. But do you see a scenario where he works himself back into that starting four spot right now?
Well, I certainly don't think that they're going to let him start 40 games because of the because of his qualifying offer. So, I mean, that in itself is but we're only 20 games away from that, right? So, I mean, we're already into the season. What is it? 21 games. So look, is it possible? I'm never going to say anything is impossible. I'll also say this too. He didn't have kind words when he hit that three. His explosion there was very pointed and it was very angry. And I was excited for him to have that moment.
It wasn't at Portland that he was angry at.
No. I don't know how many people were in the building, but that's who it was aimed at.
Gotcha.
And it was, you know, he had some friendly fire there. But at the same time, like, what do people expect? I mean, this kid's been like, he's like an ant getting burnt under a magnifying glass for the last 4 years, you know? And so you finally have a moment and he got a little loose. He wouldn't talk about what he said, but I've heard what he said. It wasn't all that pleasant. So I'm happy for him to have that moment. But at the same time, look, this team is 8-13. They're going to try everything and anything. And that's what Alvin Gentry has to do. Mm-hmm. He has to sit there and try to get this team through this season. And he has to earn his coaching role for next season if that's what he wants or if he can accomplish that. So if Marvin Bagley gives Alvin Gentry the best chance to succeed, then he's going to play. And as of right now, it's hard to argue that he's not giving you. If he does the dirty work, if he does the little things, if he sets hard screens, if he plays defense, even at an NBA average level, then I think you can play him a lot of minutes. And, you know, he's young, he's athletic. He still doesn't have a ceiling, but I think the floor has changed on him considerably. And so we're kind of at that point where he has to he has to figure out how to play basketball, and we're starting to see him grow into that. And I hope that it continues and we don't see him go back to looking to be a 20 and 10 guy. Before you're a 20 and 10 guy, you need to be a player that can stay on the court, and not just health wise, but like literally someone that the coach can rely on to stay on the court.
Okay. I got to ask another question about Marvin Bagley. Then we'll dive into De'Aaron Fox and the team shooting woes and the just the disaster that was yesterday's game versus the Memphis Grizzlies. 1320 Kings insider James Hamm with us here. You can watch the show on twitch.tv/ESPN1320, youtube.com/ESPN1320. We welcome those listening on the Odyssey app and 1320 AM. We're coming back with more with James Hamm. He's our Kings insider, but it is a 49ers Monday brought to you by Gilmore Heating, Air, and Plumbing. Right now, Gilmore is offering Niner fans a $49 furnace safety inspection. Just mention this ad that you heard here on D'Lo and KC. More Kings talk on the way here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Back here on this 49ers Monday, brought to you by City Center Financial. Refinance today below 1.99% APR at 1-866-GO-CITY-6. And our 1320 Kings insider, James Hamm, with us. I kind of want to put a bow on this Marvin Bagley conversation. You had mentioned the shot against Portland and his reaction to it. In your experience, you've been covering this team for a long time. Has the fan base... Is Marvin Bagley the player they have most aggressively gone at? Because so much is made of Marvin's relationship with the fans. And I've always been like a little bit confused by that. But is it greater than anyone in the past that you can recall?
No. I mean, Kings fans always have one, you know, that they pick out. Yeah, they always have one that they pick out and they do this too. You know, it's just that's like Willie Cauley Stein got a lot of this as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Willie never helped himself. Like Marvin doesn't help himself because he's got outside noise. And then, you know, of course, he asked for the trade. But before that, Marvin hadn't really said anything that would cause you to believe that, you know, cause fans to go at him. Some fans get upset about him, you know, in his rap career. And I don't get that at all. Like at the end of the day. Again, these guys have to have some sort of ice. All they do is eat, drink, and sleep basketball. They should be able to sit around and you know, throw some bars if that's what they want to do. I mean, again, De'Aaron Fox, there's a time where he's playing like 14 hours a day of video games. So, I mean,
Willie
how are you going to fault one guy?
People hated that, like Willie painted.
It's crazy.
You know, I think with Willie, there was just never... Like, I always bring Willie back to this. Like... So many of us were athletes, right? That we always looked at that one huge, tremendous athlete that you played with who was just so naturally good and big. And like, he got to be the star because he was really big as like a 14-year-old and was like the number one guy walking into his freshman year and solidified himself as that moving forward. And you always have that, man, if I was only that tall or if I was only that big. I think so many athletes have that. And with Willie, I think that's what a lot of it was. Everyone just looked like, man, you have so many gifts, so many tools, and you just don't seem to care. And even when he had good moments, I remember he had that moment, the Kings beat Philadelphia, and I think Fox hit a jumper that won the game, and it was his rookie season. And he had a jumper in the middle of the key over, I think it was Covington. It was a beautiful play. But Willie Cauley-Stein had a defensive stop against Joel Embiid the play before. And then the final play, he had a defensive stop. And we caught Willie in the hallway coming out. And we said, man, we were talking to him about his defense. And the only thing he wanted to do was compare himself to Kristaps Porzingis and how he could be the unicorn and he, you know, he could score so many points if he was given the opportunity. And there was just no grasp of reality of like, we're trying to like help you out here and give you props for having a great two defensive stops. And the first thing out of your mouth is that, you know, that you want to score.
I'm a unicorn too.
Yeah. And so it just really, really strange. And like that was always, there's always a disconnect. So no, Marvin's not the first that's dealt with this with Sacramento Kings fans. He won't be the last. A lot of fans have turned on De'Aaron at this point. You're mm-hmm. starting to see that as well. So I think it's just sort of the nature of it, you know, especially with social media. Everyone thinks they have a voice and they want to scream and yell. I mean, I have so many people screaming and yelling at me all the time about coaches, and I just want to mute them and block them. And then what if
you're a
what
puppet, you're James? You're a puppet. Yeah.
It's like, what if you're wrong about everything that you're saying? I'm not going to hear you say that. You're not going to come back and say, my bad, James, I was wrong. It's just not what happens.
Nah, that never happens.
And then when they tell you how wrong that you are, they just disappear for like the next 3 weeks and wait for the particular player or coach to have a bad game before they come out like,
I told you.
All the buddy elite tweets have they fallen by the wayside over the course of the last few games.
Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah. You guys need to like drive to Temecula with some of these people. That's where we're at. Like, so crazy, crazy fans. It's weird. You know, you want to have this dialogue with fans. And I think if you text with me, people know that if you text with me, I usually do like GIFs back. Like I do like little video things back, or I do a lot of emojis. Mm-hmm. I don't say a lot. And if I do, I call you because there's a lot of times where I'm driving. But I've gotten to that on Twitter too, where I'm speaking with like Oprah stuffs or you know, Oprah yelling at people or, Alec Baldwin pouring whiskey into a glass that never empties. Yeah, one of the so yeah, that's what you're gonna get from me from here on out, people. I'm not gonna deal with you.
that's how it is. Or you can just, this is what I do, James. In some cases, you just suspend people. They're suspended from talking basketball or boxing with me. They can look. I'm probably never gonna block anybody.
I block them.
See, I don't ever want you, whoever's doing it, to think that you got that far under my skin that I just got to block. No, you ain't never going to get blocked from me. I'll be right here. You can see my stuff. I'll see yours if I need to. And trust me, I see yours. All right. So I ain't going to block nothing. But when you at me, I don't have to respond. If it makes you feel better to try and get my attention, that's cool. I don't have to respond. I don't have to respond. And you try to engage me in a conversation. No, you're suspended. You don't get to talk and go back and forth with me. You don't get that opportunity. That's just kind of how I go about it.
Yeah, I block people. I mean, not all the time, but when someone's offensive, I don't let like racial epithets go on mm-hmm. in my timeline. That just gets you an auto ban. I don't even want to see it. I don't even care if you're joking or what, anything else. I don't care. And there are other things that get under my skin that people say or do. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to block you. I don't need that stress. You know, there's plenty of people out there in the Twitter universe that have positive souls. And then I don't want anyone sucking the soul out of me and making me, you know, frustrate me. I'll just block you. If you don't want my Kings coverage, that's fine. Go find somewhere else. Cause I'll just block you and you won't be able to get it.
Where's that?
You'd be missing out on the best Kings coverage on the planet, Kings Beat. Of course, our 1320 Kings insider, James Hamm, here with us on ESPN 1320. I imagine De'Aaron's blocking a few people on social media right now. We were talking earlier about De'Aaron and kind of the goods and the bads, the pluses and the minuses of his season. It evolved into a deeper conversation of looking at his growth over the course of the last couple of years. But one thing that I pointed out, and it's my concern to me, and it's a big concern to me, and you're closer to them on a regular basis or a more regular basis than we are, it feels like De'Aaron's attitude has changed. At least that's the vibe, and I understand the difficulties of Zoom press conferences and those types of things, but it feels like De'Aaron's overall demeanor has changed. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But I think that, number one, he got off to a really, really rough start. And then he's the guy that wore it when the Kings were losing all those games in a row. You know, he's the one that really struggled out of the gate. And so I don't know. I think part of it struggles. I think part of it is the here we go mentality. Here we go again. Mm-hmm. Because the Kings are right back in the same exact situation that they have been in past years. And you just can't keep talking and then not doing. And I think he gets that. And I mean, there are certain press conferences where his attitude is just shot and you're just like, oh boy, you know, here we go. But at the same time, I mean, Rashawn Holmes had one of those this last week as well, where, I mean, I raced down from my seat and by the time I got into the media room, he was finishing up. And then that was it. We didn't talk to him. I mean, he was maybe 45 seconds of a press conference and it was an angry 45 seconds. And the people that were in the room weren't ready to handle his, like where he was at and try to draw some more out of him. And so it's not just De'Aaron. I think we've had quite a few press conferences where, you know, either guys are really happy because they won or really angry because they lost. I mean, Tyrese Haliburton over the last couple of press conferences has taken upon himself to call out members of the media for questions that we've asked or things that we've said out, you know, whether it's written or on a podcast or, you know, just a question that someone asked of Luke Walton a month ago. And, you know, he's like, hey, how's my defense been? I'm just checking in. Is my defense been okay? to reporters. And then I had asked him, months ago, well, not months ago, but at the beginning of the season, just like the chemistry between him and Fox looked off on the court. And now he thinks every time he sees me, he's got to ask me if his chemistry looks better.
I remember that.
It's like, well, does it? Does it really? Because you want me to be honest, like you've scored in single digits six of your last like nine games. So does it? Because I'm not sure that it does. So, like, this team still has chemistry issues on the court. They still haven't been able to string anything that's that productive together outside of the first, you know, nine games where they won five out of nine. Outside of that, it's been a mixed bag of bad and not so bad. And both of those have the word bad in them for the most part. I mean, they've got some wins, but nothing consistent. And so, yeah, they do still have chemistry issues and they need to figure them out.
And James, this goes into what I kind of wanted to ask you, because Wednesday against Portland, great atmosphere, very fun on Friday, thrilling win. But yesterday was so predictable. It was so predictable. And I know, you know, you'll say that, you know, these things happen in the NBA. Okay, that shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen. Every time this group of guys that's been together for loosely for the last 2-3 years have an opportunity to seize a moment or, you know, to take advantage of an opportunity, they fail to get it done. And I know it's only four games into the Gentry era or the next coach era, whatever it is, but this is the same team. This is the same team from 2019, 2020 before the pandemic. They play the same way. They have the same shortcomings. They have the same inconsistent nature. And until further notice, I don't see this changing with this particular group of players.
I don't disagree. No, I mean, unless there's some weird epiphany moment where they just put it all together. We saw it with the Charlotte game, right? Where all of a sudden every shot goes in and everything looks perfect and they're moving. Well, unless they have eight of those games in a row, then I think we can say they are who we thought they are. They're the same exact team. And so, but when we look at Sunday, I'm not sure how anyone just walks into a game thinking, oh, the Sacramento Kings should walk into Memphis because they're missing Ja Morant and just thump them. Like, that's a good team. It's solid all the way through. I don't love a lot of their moves in the offseason, but that's still a solid team from top to bottom. And the Kings were also missing three starters, not just one. I mean, certainly it wasn't their best player, but they certainly were missing like their second and their third best player. And so those things do happen. It does happen at the NBA level where you have stinkers like that, especially after a tremendous emotional victory just 2 days earlier where, you know, you go to triple overtime and somehow beat the Lakers. Mm-hmm. You just wish that it didn't happen so often. And I think the biggest problem is it's not that that game happened, because again, I'll keep saying it, those games happen. It's that the 8 out of 9 losses happened just a week earlier. That's when you start to go, this is just the same group. It's the same, you know, emotionally fragile group that loses more than they win. Mm-hmm. And until they prove us otherwise, then that's who they are. And should changes happen? Heck yeah, changes should happen. Changes should have happened this summer, but they didn't. And I can't force someone to make a trade. Doesn't matter how many times I say it or write it. If they don't want to make a trade or they can't pull off a trade that makes sense for them, they're not going to. And so, like, I would like to say that I wish that this thing is going the right direction, but we have no idea. And that's why I kept telling you guys, it's not all on Walton. Because if you think it's all on Walton, then what the heck happened on Sunday? It's just not. I mean, it's a combination of many things, and all of them lead to the same result.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.